The epistle reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, when our life of faith is done, in realms of clearer light, may we behold you as you are, with full and endless sight. Amen. You may have noticed, as you've been tracking through these last few weeks, that we've been following this conversation that Jesus has been having in John chapter 6 for 3 weeks now. And you may think that that's an inordinate amount of time to spend on this one passage. But it is a passage that gets at the heart of what the world doesn't like about Jesus, as well as stating outright what Jesus came to do and how he is going to do it. So if you remember, this conversation is taking place after the feeding of the 5,000, when a crowd out of that 5,000 had gone and tracked Jesus down again. And Jesus susses out pretty quickly their motivation for tracking him down. His first words to them are, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. He understands they are after more food, plain and simple. They aren't doing it because they saw the miraculous signs and figured out who Jesus was. They just wanted another free lunch. And Jesus told them, do not do that. Do not live your lives chasing after and working for your base desires, following your gut, chasing after these things that will perish. Last week, we had our epistle reading from Ephesians 4, and in it, Paul said that sinners are corrupted, they're futile in their thinking, they're hard in their hearts because of their deceitful desires. And those desires are seductive, they appear good in some way, but ultimately, we know that they are not, that they will not last, that the good they offer is illusory. It will leave them. It will not stand the test of time. So Jesus tells the crowd, do not follow such things. And instead of earthly bread, or instead of earthly pleasures, or instead of just the material things of this world, he tells them exactly what they should be after. They should be after the food of eternal life, because only that will last forever. And as you know from the past couple of weeks as we've been going through this chapter, when Jesus explains that he is that bread, he is that bread that came down from heaven, that his flesh is the flesh that is given over for the life of the world, and hearing that, that does not sit well with them, and they begin grumbling. And at that point, Jesus possibly could have smoothed things over by just stop talking like that, or by making what he says more palatable, if you will, in some sense. But Jesus doesn't. They grumble, and they are arguing amongst themselves, and at that point, Jesus doubles down. He insists, he just tells them the truth. He insists that they must eat his flesh, they must drink his blood, or they will have no life in them. And when he talks like that, many of them leave. He was right, that's not why they had tracked him down. That is not what they were after. And furthermore, they didn't understand it. Didn't sound reasonable to them. So as I said, this gets at the heart of what the world disagrees about with Jesus. And it will also disagree with the church, who says the same things that Jesus says. Your friends, your neighbors, they probably all agree on different things that they want in life. Many of them will disagree with you about where Jesus fits into that plan, if he does at all. So I will just bet all of your friends and neighbors, they all agree that having a sufficient amount of money in the bank so that you can eat well, so that you can vacation often, so that you can live in large places that won't be troubled by many of the things that we see going on, if that's what is their deepest desire, if that is what they see as the goal, if that's what they see as life, then they are, as Jesus said to the crowd, after loaves, working for food that will perish. And they may get it for a while. But since that stuff is not eternal, by definition, it is not going to last forever. And Jesus here is clear in John chapter 6 and elsewhere. Jesus comes to deliver, comes to give, wants us to be involved with that which lasts forever, that which is eternal. And so we need to see Jesus saying that. We need to understand that neither Jesus nor the church are anti-enjoyment. Jesus isn't against good things. Rather, Jesus preaches over and over again about food and joy and life that lasts forever. An eternal heavenly feast, that is what he keeps calling people to. But when he talks that way, we also know that there is a sense in which that is delayed gratification. Sure, there are blessings that God gives us here and now, but Jesus insists the best, what you really want, what you are honestly after, what will fulfill your joy, is that which is to come. Jesus wants everyone to know that. He wants everyone to prepare for that, to prepare for what is to come, so that they do not settle for what is lesser, so that you do not settle for non-eternal things. And as Christians, we have to, or we should go with Christ on this. We should not think like the world. We do not set our minds on material desires or earthly pleasures, because we know that we will be deceived by them into missing out on those things that are eternal. And this is where Jesus' words go in John chapter 6. And in our reading today, Jesus clearly makes himself the center, the very source of that true eternal life that comes from the Father. And Jesus says, it only comes through me. It only comes by me giving my body and blood for the life of the world. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. On the other hand, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. He who eats this bread will live forever. So that is what the life of the Christian is to be centered around here and now. The fact that we want to live eternally with Christ. And that promise, knowing, seeing in his resurrection that Christ is able to deliver on that promise, we should be willing to give up or trade away anything else we have in order to keep that, so that we would always follow him. And furthermore, we should see, because it's true, we should see that that would be a bargain. If we had to give it all up, it would be a trade we should make without batting an eye. It's that much better. And this is the beauty of Peter's statement at the end of our gospel reading this morning. As the crowd leaves, clearly just the way it reads as you're reading along with John, it seems that most of the crowd leaves, and Jesus turns to the 12 and asks if they are leaving too. And Peter pipes up, "Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Just so. There is no other better earthly place than where you are right here, right now. I know the world will lie to you and tell you that that's not true, but you need to know it. Here you are gathered around Jesus. Here you hear his words. Here you gather around to receive, eat, and drink his body and blood for eternal life. There is nothing better. Jesus says he has the power to raise you even from death, that he will never lose anyone that the Father gives to him. And words like this is why the church, this is why we as Christians are always hopeful. It's not the same thing as saying that we're never sad or that we never have sorrows or griefs, or that we're always happy. But we always have these words of God, so we always have hope. And these words stand in contrast to the empty and the deceitful and the corrupt words and promises of the world. And you know this from experience. The older you are, the more experience you have had with this kind of thing. You have tracked through your lives or been alive to see different fads, different promises that the world makes. And as you've lived longer, you've also seen that those kind of things pass away, that they don't stick for all too long. We chase them for a while, but then after a while, we lose our taste for them, and it's off to the next thing. But not so with Jesus. It can't be that way with Jesus. He cannot be a fad. He cannot remain at the margins. Jesus cannot be what's left over, if you even have room for him, after all of your hobbies, after your physical bread, after gathering your wealth, or whatever else you have going on. That cannot be, because we know he is the source of life. He has the words of eternal life. And we never want to give those up. As Paul says in our epistle reading today, do not be deceived by anyone who talks otherwise. Empty words, those are. But you have the words that truly fill you up, the words that sustain you. You have the words of Christ. You have the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, but guards and keeps your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.